Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this fine Saturday morning. And one thing that I'm noticing, especially this summer, is actors and performers who are going back to their stomping grounds and their roots, even though they've spent years and years doing other things. We just got the news that Pat Sajak, the Wheel of Fortune guy, is going to be spending a couple of weeks in the summer in Connecticut doing The Odd Couple with an old friend of his, and I think that's kind of cool. And now we're hearing that someone who actually has been doing theater again for a while, but it's kind of cool that he's doing it in a sort of high-profile way back in New York, is John Davidson. Now, you know him from a zillion different game shows. You also would know him from That's Incredible. And, well, if you go back way back in the theater, you have seen him in Oklahoma at City Center, and also in State Fair. But right now, for the next couple of weeks, you're going to get to see him off-Broadway in The Fantastics. And he's playing Henry, the old actor. So we're very, very happy to have with us in the neighborhood the not-so-very-old John Davidson. Welcome, John.
Well, thanks, Dave. Yes, I am very old. I'm 70 now, and 48 years ago, long before I hosted Hollywood Squares and That's Incredible and The Tonight Show and all that, I started my very first show out of college. I came to New York and I auditioned for the Hallmark Hall of Fame version of The Fantastics and playing the boy. And my father was, there are two fathers in The Fantastics, mm-hmm. and my father was Bert Lahr, and the Susan Watson, who played the girl's father, was Stanley Holloway.
Wow.
My Fair Lady, the movie. And Ricardo Montalban was El Gallo. So here, 48 years later, now I'm playing the oldest person. I went from the youngest to the oldest.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the guy who was playing Henry when this semi-new Fantastics first opened, I guess I should say The Fantastics ran for years and years, like 40 years off-Broadway downtown, and had to close. You know, there were some financial stuff, and the original producer died, and his son took over. And then it kind of went away, but only for a year and a half. And they made sure to reopen it. It's playing at the Snapple Theater Center. So it's almost as if it hadn't closed at all, because it's almost the same production. It's just in another space. But the person before you, one of them, playing Henry the old actor, was Tom Jones himself, the guy who co-wrote the show. So that's pretty heavy shoes to be stepping into, don't you think?
Well, the thrill of it was that I've known Tom Jones for years, and when I auditioned for it 48 years ago for The Boy, I auditioned for Tom Jones. We should make sure that people know that this is not the guy who's saying right. Not unusual. This is the Tom Jones, of course, that wrote The Fantastics, the book and the lyrics. The great thing about coming into it, into his shoes, is that he directed me. I spent 3 days now this past week working actually with Tom Jones on the role.
Wow.
And gotten some very positive feedback from him. It reminds me of when I did Oklahoma. I did a revival of Oklahoma in, oh boy, when I first got to the city after The Fantastics, but 65. I did Oklahoma actually with Susan Watson as well. And Richard Rodgers came in for the last 3 days. Richard Rodgers directed me for the last 2 days, really. So I've had a chance to work with some pretty great people. The interesting thing that Tom Jones did, when he played the old actor, he made up a false bio. He called himself Bruce Thomas.
Thomas Bruce, actually. Yeah, you flipped it, yeah.
Thomas Bruce, that's right.
Uh-huh.
But you know a lot of stuff. Thomas Bruce. And he made up a fake bio of Shakespearean shows that he'd done, you know, and it was just so wonderful to do it that way, and now in this program it'll be my real bio.
It'll be the actual John Davidson.
Pleasure working with Tom Jones. Yeah.
Well, can I ask? You're dropping these names, which is very exciting. But we want to hear anecdotes. I want to hear. Do you have any memories of working with Bert Lahr on TV, either on stage or backstage? Any thoughts on Bert Lahr?
Oh, yes. I at that time I was fortunate to. My first Broadway show was called Foxy at the old Ziegfeld Theater on 54th and 6th. There's a big office building there now. youngest son, and then when the Fantastics came along, we were cast together, I guess, for him to play my father in the Hallmark Hall of Fame version of the Fantastics. Bert Lahr is a real study, and his son, can't think of his son's name.
John Lahr.
Yeah, wrote the book about his father, and of course, was very, very accurate. Bert Lahr was a warrior, really just an unhappy man, as far as I could see. Of course, I was so young, and he was already very old, but not a happy man, and very critical of himself, and very, very, of course, he's a comic genius. His timing and his bits and stuff are just incredible, and he's one of a kind, but he never seemed to get it right for himself. That was my opinion, and that was my feeling in watching him, that he was always frustrated that it could be funnier, we could make this funnier, we could do this better, and you would see him more brooding. You would never see him laughing or just enjoying himself, at least at that point in his life. I think that's true of many, many funny people.
That is exactly. I did read the biography by John Lahr of his father, and that is him apparently to a T. I mean, you saw that up close, and it was right there, especially in Foxy, apparently. So kind of sad to hear that, but at the same time, you could watch this master at work, day after day, which is pretty amazing. I'm wondering if
Watch from the wings in Foxy. I would come off stage doing my scene, and then I would watch him most every night, because it was never the same. It was just a very creative performer, and he was very nice to me as a young person in the business. He showed me. We had a bit where I had to knock him out, and he showed me how to do a fake punch and how every night I knocked out Bert Lahr, and he showed me just how to do a stage a fight scene, and he was very nice to a young actor just getting started.
That's great. Now, I'm wondering also, since you mentioned working on TV in The Fantastics with Ricardo Montalban, was he the same on stage as off, or did he turn into an entirely different person?
No. Ricardo Montalban is a grand man in his roles and off stage. We would have lunch together every day working on The Fantastics, and I thought, gee, if I could be like this guy, he has a great sense of himself and a great compassion for other people, and just a wonderful man. I wanted to be like Ricardo Montalban, and it's not a matter of confidence. He you get the feeling when you're with him that it's not all about him, that he's all about other people, and that he's confident enough to take care. He's a caregiver, and he certainly, again, he took care of
The people around him in age, yeah.
So I really saw him as a kind of a father figure and admired him so much, yeah.
Now, one other name-drop thing that I want to ask about. In 1996, they actually brought State Fair as a musical to Broadway, and you were in that as Abel. And the very, very able, although at that point rather failing producer of that show, was the late and rather extraordinary David Merrick. It was on his last legs at that point, but still, any Merrick memories?
Oh, boy. Many. State Fair was a chance to come back to Broadway in a Rodgers and Hammerstein show. It was a new show. It had a wonderful new book by Tom Briggs and another man whose name I can't think of, but Tom Briggs. State Fair is a wonderful musical, but I never believed myself to be a hog farmer from Iowa, and I had trouble in that show, I must say. You have to believe that you are the character, and I tried to believe it. We did a whole year out of town, and then coming into New York, I never believed myself in that, and I felt I was not pleased with my performance. I felt it should have been done by a real character guy and someone. I felt the same way when I did Billy Bigelow, quite honestly. Years ago, I tried to play Billy Bigelow in Carousel, and Billy Bigelow beats his wife. You have to believe that here is a guy who has the possibility of beating his wife, and I just So there have been several roles in my career that I've had trouble with that, and the State Fair was one of them. But what saved State Fair is that in the middle of our out-of-town tour, David Merrick signed on to it. I don't know whether he ever knew that he did. There was a lady in his life, an Asian lady, who we used to call her Miss Saigon. I don't know why. But she was a very strong Asian woman who was kind of running his affairs and would push him around in the wheelchair. At that point, it was hard to tell whether David Merrick knew where he was or was cognizant. But he also produced Foxy, my first musical. And when he came to see State Fair in Philadelphia, he came backstage, and I hugged him, and I said, "Oh, Mr. Merrick, you gave me my start in Foxy, and now you're producing State Fair." And he shook his head as if he understood, that, as if he recognized me, as if, and he was smiling, and you can't see me, but I'm doing it here, and my wife is laughing at me. He made a face and shook as if he couldn't speak at all, but he made a face and shook as if he recognized me and that he liked my performance and that he realized that he'd been at the start of my career and now here he was producing State Fair. But we never knew whether he really knew what he was doing, and but he certainly saved State Fair. He brought that to Broadway. We ran for about 4 months and created a regional hit that can be done all over the country.
Well, do you have memories, though, of Merrick at his prime back in the Foxy years? I didn't realize that he produced that show, too. Do you remember Merrick, the scowling impresario type from 40 years back?
Well, I went and met him. I think his office was above the St. James Theater. Could that be? Because that's where Hello, Dolly was at the St. James. He may have been at the audition for Foxy, but it was dark out there, and Robert Lewis was the director, and I don't remember whether Merrick was there. But I went and met him within his office, and he was smoking a cigar, and just one of the typical old impresario guys. And, like a caricature of a Broadway producer. He was the Broadway producer, and oh man, he made things happen. I mean, he was amazing, so everybody knows that. And when Foxy was out of town, David Merrick had two musicals on the road. One was called Foxy with Burt Lahr and Larry Blyden, and the other one was called Hello, Dolly. And the word that we got was that Foxy was much better than Hello, Dolly. Hello, Dolly needed a lot of work. Our champion was working on it, and they were in trouble. That's what we were told. They were in real trouble. Well, Merrick decided to put money into Hello, Dolly and to fix it. And they did. Boy, did they fix it. I mean, it became one of those perfect shows. And he didn't put any more money into Foxy. He brought it in just so that it would open. And we got mixed or bad reviews, and it was not well received. Burt Lahr was, I'm sure, but the show was said to not be a winner. But Merrick had those two shows at the same time, so we were sort of competing with Hello, Dolly, and he put all his money and effort into fixing Hello, Dolly, and it became the classic.
Wow. Well, we are talking, by the way, with John Davidson, who is in a classic as we speak. He is playing Henry, the old actor, in The Fantastics. You can see it off-Broadway at the Snapple Theater Center. So we've been talking a ton about theater, and I hope we haven't alienated the folks who aren't so much into theater who listen to this program. So let's talk TV. Of all the shows that you have done, of all the game shows, do you have a favorite?
I think the greatest experience on television for me was my talk show. I took over for Mike Douglas when Westinghouse decided they wanted to drop Mike Douglas. They came to my manager and said, "Would John Davidson basically host the Mike Douglas show?" It wasn't anything new. So I did for 2 years. I hosted I became the Mike Douglas in the daytime, and that was a great experience because I'd have to read. Took a course in speed reading. I had several authors each week. I had political figures. I had old-time stars and new stars in the new series. And so that was great. And then hosting The Tonight Show for Carson. I hosted The Tonight Show for Carson more than any other singer. And the guests that you're having on those types of talk shows, you meet your peers and spend more time with them than you would doing a dramatic show, because you're backstage. And same was true when I hosted the Hollywood Squares. You do all five shows in one day, and you have dinner with all these major stars, and it's a buffet. I was the second host of the Hollywood Squares after Peter Marshall was the classic host, and then I was the second, and Tom Bergeron was the third. But I think there's no one show, but the chance to... I don't go to Hollywood parties, so I'm not invited to Hollywood parties.
Neither am I. It's okay. Yeah.
So that these shows gave me a chance to mingle with my peers, and you talk a lot of shop talk. You get a lot of ideas, a lot of career ideas, and that meeting with your peers is very beneficial, and I love that because you get to know people in shows.
Now, can I ask if you were giving advice to someone on hosting a game show? What would it be? Because, it's a pretty rarefied thing. You don't get that many people who do that professionally on TV. There's really a dozen that you see over and over again over the years. So what would you say would be, like, advice? What got you through, besides always smile, I guess?
I don't know. If it's a celebrity-based thing... or even if it's not a celebrity you're dealing with as far as the guests, I think it's to make them shine. The idea, being a game show host or a talk show, is to make people shine, bring out the joy, find out what is their strengths, and try to make the other people shine. Merv Griffin, of course, was a classic example of being able to make other people shine, and I think that's the biggest thing, is to realize that it's not all about you. The game show host is not, let's face it, is not a respected art form. It is an art form, but it's not respected, and you're a traffic cop at times, and it's a position that you can get better at. I think Dick Clark was a wonderful game show host. Donny Osmond got very good at it. There are other classic, Gene Rayburn, and some of those greats.
Oh, yeah.
But let's face it, it is not a... everybody puts down game show hosts, and I guess I would say it is an art form like anything else. But I think the secret to it is to make other people look good and realize it's not all about you.
Can I ask you, you mentioned Dick Clark, and I noticed in one of the bios on you, is it true that your dad was the minister when Dick Clark got married?
Yeah. When Dick married Carrie, his wonderful wife, my dad was a retired minister. My dad was a Baptist preacher, and he moved out to California near me and my kids. So, and he spoke in churches and did marriages and funerals, and actually he was a part-time preacher in his retirement. And he married Kenny Rogers to Mary Ann, his wife, and he married Dick Clark to his wife. And, of course, he married a lot of other people. But, I think I had done a Christmas special with Dick Clark, and so Dick met my father, and my father was on the Christmas special. So he met my father there, and when Dick decided to get married, he asked my father to do the ceremony, yeah.
Way cool. Way cool. And here's the thing that I'm a little bit surprised at. I mean, you're calling from New York, because I assume you're doing the Fantastics, and your wife is with you, but normally you guys live in Mexico. Is that why did you choose Mexico?
Well, actually, I'm sorry. I probably sent you an old bio.
Oops.
And it's old. It's only a year old. We lived in Mexico when our youngest child left the nest. We were empty nesters, and we sold the nest. We wanted to have an international experience, and so we moved to San Miguel de Allende, which is right in the center of Mexico. It's nowhere near where the drug cartels are
for not making me ask that, but I was curious about that. Okay, yeah.
No, it's very, very safe. San Miguel de Allende. And, you know, the cable news and network news does a bad thing for Mexico when we talk about the drug wars, because 95% of Mexico is so safe, and it's a wonderful culture that we could learn a lot from the Mexican culture. And traveling in Mexico is, in 95% of the country, is safe. Now, there are areas where you should not go, especially along the border in Monterrey and, of course, Juarez, and there are places, Sonora. But you should, if you have to go through there, you should fly over them or drive through them very fast, and then get to the heart of the country. And San Miguel de Allende is so safe and so wonderful. We lived there for 6 years. We built a house there. We studied my Spanish. I was hoping to be bilingual, but my Spanish is much better. And we love Mexico. But there came time where we grew tired of dealing with a third world country. It is. It's tough. The people are wonderful, so sweet and everything, but it is a third world country, and we just felt that we wanted to be closer to a CVS and a Barnes & Noble and a Whole Foods restaurant. And so we came back to the States last year, but we hope to return to Mexico many times.
And I assume you're out on the West Coast mostly, except for the show you're doing now?
Well, we actually live all over. We've just bought a motorhome. I never thought that I would be driving a motorhome.
Huh. Really? Living out of, that's... Wow, what is that like?
We have a home. We have a home in Florida, near Palm Beach, but not in Palm Beach, but Palm Beach County. And we also have a motorhome. And that means that we can go and stay for a couple of months with my daughter, who's getting her master's at Harvard up in Boston. My daughter's in speech and voice, and she's going into academia. She's going to be a college professor, so she's getting her master's at Harvard. So we can take our motor coach up and stay there for a month or 6 weeks near Boston, and then my son lives in Baja, Mexico. His wife is Mexican. And my grandchildren live down in Baja. We can take our motor coach down Baja and stay there. So to have a movable second home is a tremendous thing. So I drive and my wife navigates, and you'll see these two gray-haired people going by, and you might say, isn't that John Davidson driving that RV?
Oh, way cool. Way cool. And, of course, you will see John Davidson doing the Fantastics off-Broadway currently, but you do a lot of other shows. I didn't want to make it sound like you gave up the theater completely for television. Maybe you did for a while, but for the past few years, you've been doing a lot of theater. As a matter of fact, after the Fantastics, you were going into Man of La Mancha in New Jersey. Is that true?
There's a new theater in Barnegat, New Jersey. I used to do a lot of shows at Surflight Theater, which is in LBI down on the Jersey coast, a wonderful theater. But the producer of Surflight left Surflight. His name is Steve Steiner, and he started another theater called the Ocean Professional Theater Company in Barnegat, New Jersey. Thanks for letting me talk about it, because they have a whole season of shows lined up, and one of their first shows is Man of La Mancha. I get to play Don Quixote again. There's a role that you could work on for the rest of your life. But I actually start rehearsal for that next week after I open Fantastics. See, I only do Fantastics from June, this airs Saturday, so I will have opened last night in the Fantastics, and I run for basically 2 weeks, and then I have a couple, and then I open the following Wednesday at the Ocean Professional Theater Company in Barnegat, New Jersey. So I'm getting to play these two. There's a similarity, because in the Fantastics, I'm playing old Henry, who's an old actor who's senile and really has phases of dementia. And then I go to play Don Quixote, who is senile and has dementia. And so I'm playing these two old characters. It's just that Don Quixote sings Impossible Dream, of course.
Of course. And what's interesting, though, is you mentioned some other musical roles that you did not feel comfortable with, but one show that apparently you feel extremely comfortable doing and have done is Music Man. What is it about Meredith Willson's The Music Man that made it like the show for you as a musical theater performer?
Yeah, I've done several national tours of Music Man and done it maybe five or six different productions. The con man aspect, but the smiley con man and the smooth con man who comes into town and dupes people and dupes even Marion the librarian. Somehow I could relate to that. I've been fooling people all my life into thinking that I'm a good guy. I've used my looks and my social ease. I'm fairly socially. I can schmooze, you know. Some people can't schmooze. I can schmooze, and I can use that for good or bad. And so that's what Harold Hill, the Music Man, does. He's a schmoozer, and it's his last ditch effort to try to make a buck. And I don't know. I could really relate to that he's a faker. He's a pretender, and I feel in many ways that I've been pretending all my life.
Well, did that bother you starting out because you had the good looks and the young kind of collegiate thing and the toothy grin and the gray hair? So coming out with all of that, was it a two-edged sword? Did you feel like, A, you were putting something over on people, but at the same time, once you started getting established, was there a sense of, oh, they're never going to take me seriously. I'm just going to be the fair-haired blonde boy, and I'll never be considered a serious actor or anything like that?
Oh, I don't. Maybe I should have been bothered by that more. It's never really. I would just take the parts that came in and feel lucky to have them. You know, I was whatever worked. It seemed to work. And I've just celebrated 50 years in show business, and I think you have to roll with it. And there have been times when I've wanted. Have there been? Wait, why am I saying that? There have been times when I wanted parts that I couldn't get. Probably not.
Because if you go Googling, which of course I do, you'll find a scene of John Davidson doing, like, The Streets of San Francisco, where you apparently play, like, a psychotic, cross-dressing, transvestite, killer, singing, female impersonator person. And I'm thinking, you know, that's an actor who wants to be more than, now I'm disparaging game show hosts, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe there was that point where, oh, let me take this role, because they'll see I'm not just ... the guy on the album covers.
I guess so. It's never been a mission for me to try to prove that I'm something that you don't know. That's just never been a mission. But my manager said when The Streets of San Francisco, I played this, yeah, you're right, this killer transvestite, he said, this, you could really sink your teeth into this one. It's not just, your biggest problem being pimples or right. You get the girl, you know. And yeah, it was very challenging and I worked very hard at it and it was very satisfying. And I think that's what I'm doing in the Fantastics now. It has that same appeal to me in that, this is a real character guy who's over the top and, oh man, it's a crazy role, but and as I speak to you now, I haven't started yet, right. And I am nervous about it. It's tonight that I open and playing something other than the juvenile lead that I grew up with, and then the leading man. This is a real crazy character part, but it's so challenging, and the theater has been so good for me. It has stretched me in many ways. I was this wholesome preacher's kid who came out to L.A. and pretty darn square. And being a theater arts major, I graduated with a B.A. in theater arts from Denison University in Ohio. And I was pretty square. But the theater and plays and Tennessee Williams and Arthur Miller you know, the stuff, the material, yeah. is so therapeutic and so mind-blowing, and theater's been great for me. I'm chance to stretch myself. And this doing the Fantastics is a real stretch.
And do you see yourself continuing to do theater and do more performances in, let's say, the next 5 to 10 years at least?
I think so. I'm 70 now. My business manager says the way my portfolio looks, I can't afford to retire.
Well, it's gas in that RV is you know, it's going to kill you now. It's $4 a gallon. You gotta get that motorhome going, you know?
You're right. It gets about 8 miles to the gallon. It's just terrible. I do feel bad about that. But I'll never retire. No, I want to be like Hal Holbrook. You know, I want to be, you know, just keep doing it until.
Betty White, Abe Pagoda, you know, go there. Why not? Can I ask one last question for the wonderful John Davidson, who is appearing in The Fantastics at the Snapple Theater Center through June 19th? Since you mentioned that your wife is there, what is something that she would know about John Davidson that nobody else might?
Just a second. I mean, what is there something that you would know about John Davidson that nobody else would know? Her name is Rhonda, and she says I'm not even going to go there.
Oh, okay. Well, and how many years have you...
Give us one thing. He's one. No, I don't think she wants you to know what she knows.
That's fair. You've been married... How long have you been married?
We've been together 32 years.
As my people say, mazel tov on that. And I want to wish you absolute success in breaking many, many legs as you do the Fantastics. Everybody go see it. And also, you know, you do have a website. I want to let people know they can go to johndavidson.com. There's a ton of nostalgic stuff plus new stuff there. You have a... how old is that CD, Going Like 60, that you put? Was that when you were 60 or is that more recent?
No, that's 10 years old. And there's a song in there I wrote called 60 Sucks. And I've changed the song now. I still do it in my act. See, I perform live. I do my act all over still. And I've changed it to 70 Sucks. And when I get to be 80, I'm going to call it 80 Aches, I guess.
Well, does 70 suck for you? I mean, you seem to be in prime tip-top health condition. Have you slowed down at all? Do you feel the aches and pains?
Oh, yes. Oh, oh my God. Oh, sure. It's depressing getting old. It sucks. I mean, you're stiff. I'm glad to be alive, and I'm thankful that I still feel very... I play tennis 3 days a week, and I like to run and bike, and I'm very active, but I get sore, I ache, and get tired, and have to take a nap, and it sucks.
Well, all I can say is, as my people again might say, I hope at some point you're writing a song that goes, 120 sucks. May you get to that point.
Thanks, Dave. I enjoyed talking to you. Thanks so much.
What a joy. Thank you, John Davidson. Bye-bye.